Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Leitman. Hello, Dr. Leitman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Shedarel. Hello. Today we'd like to talk about hate and love. Hate and love are two emotions that really stir us up, and sometimes the transition between the two is really quick. So we'd like to understand, what is that thin line between hate and love? Be with us, Yael, please. Yeah, from the dawn of mankind, there is this strong tension between hatred and love. Books were written about it, movies were made about it, wars started because of it, relations between countries are based on it. Something that we're really familiar with from life. We know what hate is, we know what love is, and today we'd like to talk about the boundary between hate and love, about the connection between the two. What's similar, what's different, and what's that thin line between love and hate that we're really surprised when we cross it, but we know that that's life. And it happens. We really loved each other, and suddenly, chick, something changes, and that's that. And we're also really familiar with the very opposite, that we really hated someone or something, and suddenly there's such love relations formed that we can't even understand how could there be such a sharp transition between the two. And my question is, what's similar about love and hate? Are they similar in some way? Emotions. Both of them are emotions. Meaning, it's a certain kind of an emotional impression inside the person, that that same impression could be felt in a certain person as hate, and in another person as love. And also in the same person, from one moment to the next, there could be this transition from hate to love or vice versa, but it's an impression, meaning if we measure it with some kind of an instrument, that can't exactly tell apart hate and love. It'll sense some kind of tension, waves, muscle tension, brain waves, some acids that are secreted there, and hormones and so on. And really, is there a difference? Besides that tiny part in our brain that distinguishes our attitude to the phenomenon, and it deciphers it as hate or love. And besides that, probably there isn't. Maybe there's no difference. Meaning, the problem is that point in our brain that determines, is it hate or is it love? But regarding all other phenomena, maybe we won't feel any difference. The pulse and the blood pressure and the impression and everything, the same. There are large parts in the brain that are operated by both emotions. Yeah, we already know that from the different tests we made. Now, what's the difference? The difference is simple. Personal interest. My will to receive. The center of my pleasure. Does it enjoy or does it suffer? Meaning my ego, in other words. It determines, will it be pleasure or will it be pain? If it's pleasure, I like it. If it's pain, I hate it. That's it. Would you put them on the same spectrum? Of course, there's no difference. I look at someone that's suffering. If that person's close to me, then I suffer. If that person's my enemy, I like it. I enjoy it. Again, please, this I didn't understand. I see a person who's suffering, for example, right? If that person's close to me, then I share his suffering. If he's my enemy, then I enjoy his suffering. Right. And the more, the merrier. If he's my enemy, all the more. Right, and this is how it always is. If he's suffering, now, if he's enjoying, then also, correspondingly, if it's someone that's close to me, then I share their joy. And if it's to the contrary, if it's my enemy, then I suffer as a result of their pleasure. Meaning, it doesn't matter what do we identify, but what's important is our attitude, meaning our ego always determines between hate and love. Now the question is, outside of myself, what I identify is either what's close to me, meaning what's to my benefit or what's to my detriment. Regarding my ego, meaning, can I also change my ego from positive to negative? That's the question. Why? Because by that, I will change my attitude toward other people, toward the world. I can make it so that this world for me will be like heaven. I'll look at everyone, and I will be able to change my ego, my attitude toward the world, such that for me, everything's gonna be great. Everyone's nice, everyone's pretty, everyone's really... So, why not? So, it actually decides. It's the point that determines. I want to decide about my own ego. Usually, it decides for me who to hate, who to love, and also who to enjoy, who makes me suffer. I want to do something else. I want to change it in such a way that in the world, I'll see no sources of hate. And that I'll always have a good attitude toward everyone and everything, so I'll always feel good. Why suffer? To see that my enemy is succeeding and that my beloved one's failing, losing. So you're actually saying that instead of changing the world, I'll change myself. It's simple. What, I'm going to change the entire world? It said that you're not familiar with the world. You don't know who and what it is. It's like Kabbalists say, it's the Shechina Gdosha, Holy Divinity. But it's you that sees the world this way. Anyone who blames does it because of his own flaws. This is what you say out of your own ego. This good, this bad, according to how close or distant it is from your ego. So I neutralize my ego, and I see the world for what it is. Everything's great, heaven. And previously, it practically all seemed to me like hell. So it's all in my hands. And in this, I don't force anyone. I only work on myself. So you, as a psychologist, do you prefer for things to be this way? I think that many approaches understand nowadays that you can't change what's outside of you, but you really try to change your own attitude toward things, and from there to change how you feel in life in general. So, how do these different methods do it, and how does the wisdom of Kabbalah, how does the method of Kabbalah do it? Here there's a big difference, because the rest of the methods use persuasion. Look at the world. This way, it's better not to look at the world. That way, and so on. The wisdom of Kabbalah says, no, this won't help. And eventually, this is also what we see, that these methods, they don't really help. Sometimes they do, a bit. We're not saying that they don't help at all. They somehow mitigate our life to some extent. But that by this we can really change our point of view of the world? No. The wisdom of Kabbalah says no. Here we have to make this inner kind of surgery, operation, which is a very fundamental one, where we entirely change our attitude toward the world. That the world's good, that all of us are bad, until we arrange our view of the world to see that it's good. This is my indication. This is the standard by which I can measure that I have changed, that I've taken care of myself, and that I brought myself to correction. Let's put it that way. How did I correct myself? My attitude? By changing my attitude toward the entire world from hatred to love, toward everyone completely. I have no enemies, I hate no one, but I love everyone. This is how you see them. Yes. And this is how you relate to them. Yes. And this is the inner change that you're talking about, that you make inside yourself. Yes. I just want to see if I understand. Instead of seeing the world partly good, partly bad, like we do today, that we like some of the people and other people we really dislike, instead of that you're saying, no, I'll go only for the good part. In the meantime, I want to push out the bad part, the hate. No, this isn't what I said. Then it's like lying to myself that I see only the good half, the full half of the cup, that this is how I direct myself to see only love. No, it's not some kind of psychological approach. The approach of the wisdom of Kabbalah is that I really correct myself. And I say the following. The world is my projection. The world, in and of itself, has no true form, objective form. But it's completely my subjective form of perception, and it has no form. But everyone sees what they see out of their own flaws. And I want to correct my flaws. And then I'll see myself corrected to the extent to which I'll see that the world's corrected, that the world as my own projection will seem good to me. Just to see if I understand. Suppose that where I work, there is someone who really harmed me more than once, and I really hate that person. What now? You have to work at it. In order to correct yourself to such an extent that you will see these people, suppose, that as much as you can, you correct yourself and you bring yourself to a state where gradually, bit by bit, you change toward them, toward something more neutral, neither good nor bad, and afterwards, even in the direction of good. And you have to really learn how to do this. And then you'll see that there's no one in the world doing any bad, but he did harm me many times. You'll see that it wasn't him who harmed you and that it's not harm at all. Not him, and it's not harm. Right. What changes about the person, his perception of reality? Can you elaborate a bit? The entire perception of reality changes. It's not reality that changes, but it's perception. So it's not that I convince myself that what he did isn't really bad, because I know that what he did is bad, and that's why I hate him. And it's not just hate. It's accumulated hate from many times that he did bad things to me. And he's all the time thinking how to do bad things to me more and more. Now you're saying, I'm not recommending you to convince yourself that what he did isn't bad, but something else. What is this something else? You said, work on yourself to gradually reach a state where the hate changes into something neutral, and then it even changes into love. Lead me, step by step. What I feel right now, before I came to you, a wise person who told me, look, life isn't exactly the way you see it. You can look at it and experience it in a completely different way, and I'd love to learn how to do it. But right now, I really hate that person, and it's justified. It's not some caprice. I really have rational reasons. Now, from this place, I have to start advancing. I have to start doing some kind of work on myself until I'll reach a certain neutral attitude toward that person. First stage, what kind of work am I supposed to do? You have to understand that in this world, besides you and the upper force, there's no one else. Who or what is the upper force? The upper force, it's a force, the force of nature, that depicts to you everything that exists around you. That it's all his invention. That the entire world, all the created beings, the still, the vegetative, the animate, people, you see all of them this way because it's, how to put it, the indication, the copy, the projection of all of your inner qualities outwards, like they're set before you. It's like sitting in a movie theater and you're looking at this great big panoramic screen. It's really big. And you see your interior. Only you don't see your kidneys and your heart and lungs and so on, but you see your inner world. Your aggravations, thoughts, desires, intentions of different sorts. And all of these things are how you direct yourself and at what. And that's the problem. Toward the upper force, because besides you and him, nothing else exists besides that screen upon which you identify your attitude toward him. Again, what is the upper force? It's nature, it's the whole of nature. Meaning what? Meaning that there is some upper force that has created the still, the vegetative, animate, and people, that so it seems to us, and has created Mr. Oren Levy. And now, this force is showing Mr. Oren Levy that besides the upper force and Oren Levy, there is nothing. Everything else is the connection between them. Okay, so let's analyze this connection. This upper force, suppose that it exists. I don't know if it exists, but suppose. I'll go with you. Now, this upper force depicted this colleague for me at work called Yael, that in the past years has been screwing me over again and again, and I tremendously hate her. I'd really like for her to leave, but I'm not really saying what I feel, but I really hate her. And even now, I know that she's thinking how to screw me over. Meaning, it's not only regarding the past, but it's also about the future, and I'm full of hate. Now, the wise Dr. Lightman says, look, there's the upper force, and this upper force is showing me a movie in this theater that you just described, and in the movie there's this big hate scene. Why is he showing me this scene? In order for you to correct your qualities. Me, not her. She's not a function. She just exists here as an imagination. And there's no one and nothing here. It's just imagination. It only seems to you that there's someone sitting here in front of you. It's a piece of energy. Some of certain waves. That's it. So the first lesson is, you're saying, pay all the attention to yourself, first of all. Yeah. Now, inside of me, because we're talking and I remember all those things that she did to me, that all of these qualities that you relate to her, human, corporeal, animate, good, bad, doesn't matter what, relate it all to yourself. Before we go there, first of all, there's this kind of image here, as you called it, imagination. But if you're telling me to start looking at myself, then she doesn't interest me that much anymore. But I look at myself, I'm about to explode out of hate for this imaginary creature. Now, my feelings, they're not imaginary. This costs me health, and also because it's at work, it's ruining my career. Now, you can say what you think about her and so on. These are thoughts. These aren't thoughts. I'm talking to you about my health and my career. So I hate her. Now, okay, I'm no longer paying attention to her. I'm paying attention to myself. You see here? This is where I'm full of hate. Next step. What do I do? The first step was to look at myself, not to look at her, to say that she's imaginary. Great. Now, this hate here inside is killing me. What next? From this point on, you have to take care of yourself. Okay, what do I do? Around you, there's nothing. This I understand. First of all, I'm looking at myself. What do I do next? How will you now reach a state where you are facing only the upper force that has created you and that's allowing you to see this movie, that by seeing this entire movie, you will actually know how to reach a good interaction with this upper force, a good connection. This feeling of hate that it filled me with, is it related to the story? Of course. So let's take it from there, because then I'll better understand. What do I do next? This feeling of hate has to push you to connect with the upper force that's called nature, that's behind the movie screen. And you want to connect to him. And to reach this kind of contact with him where you'll understand him and you'll do everything that he wants you to do. And then by that, all your enemies disappear and you and he will really be connected together. And how will he know? What does he want from him? He should think about it, and then he'll know. Think about what? The wisdom of Kabbalah, it's not just a few words and oral recommendations. You have to learn and implement it. So there is a way to know what the upper force wants from me. Yes. So, we have a few minutes left. You said, think about it. Think about what? I understand the general framework, now more concretely. That you're dealing only with the upper force. How do I stop feeling the hate? Because previously, when you talked about the hate, you said that it's an emotional impression that fills a person. Yeah, what do I do about it? You leave it as it is, and thanks to it, you're now working on your connection with the upper force. So do I touch that emotion? This emotion, it helps you. It directs you at the upper force, because he is the one giving you this feeling that you previously blamed on her. But no, she's not a part of this. She doesn't exist. There's only the upper force that through these different images arranges for you, gives you an opportunity to constantly work on correcting your relations with him. So actually, from what you're saying, I understand that there's a kind of symptom of hate here right now that we put aside right now. Its purpose is only to awaken a person towards some kind of work of building a connection between him and nature. Yeah. So everything that a person feels in his gut right now, he puts aside and actually starts working on the connection with nature, and eventually, how will it all end? How will this bad feeling of hate go away eventually? If he no longer attributes everything to you but to the upper force, you'll no longer feel bad inside. Because then he doesn't hate something that's similar to himself, that there's some kind of object in front of him that he wants to destroy. But it's the upper force. He already understands that there's a certain system here, a system which is thoroughly managed, in which the beginning and the end of everyone and everything exist openly in this system in a revealed way. The system is far beyond, much higher than his intellect and his emotions. He has to understand this and deal with it, that his entire work is only in further, deeper understanding this system in order to advance with it more and more, meaning there are no enemies or haters here, but only a system that wants to teach him. Teach him what? A new attitude toward nature, new relations with nature. What? For you to get a new attitude toward nature, for you to develop a new attitude toward life and reality. And not that you'll focus on some lady that's giving you a hard time. But, yeah, she was some kind of a trigger. Yeah. Okay, we talked a lot about hate. Where's the love here? Love, please. Once you understand that this lady is not to blame for anything, but through her, this is how the Creator is working with you in order to advance you, to awaken you, to elevate you. So first of all, you don't attribute anything bad to her, and you even attribute good things to her, because through her, you're reaching something good. And what is love? That's still not love. That's why I'm asking, what is love? Love is that you, by these awakenings, you will reach bestowal. Bestowal being what? Giving. For you to want to bestow plenty and abundance from your state through this entire screen that's around you, this world, to that upper force, that's now that you understand a bit better, is doing only good things to you, even though that you're still not willing to accept them this way. Dr. Leitman, this was really interesting and innovative, and I'm left with many questions. Can you please give me one sentence to keep in my mind about hate and love? What should I remember? That eventually love has to cover all the hate. And this is how we reach the point of truth. If I correct my attitude toward nature, toward creation, toward everything, then I see that there is no one or nothing harmful, but everyone is in love. Everyone loves. It all depends on my correction. Dr. Leitman, thank you very, very much. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.